I doubt if many Christians would choose today's first reading about the Ten Commandments as their favorite passage from the Bible. Most of us prefer the more comforting stories about Jesus, like the attentive care he demonstrates at the wedding feast at Cana, or the tender mercy he displays toward the sinful woman who bathes his feet with her tears. In fact, I find that fewer and fewer Catholics are even able to recite the commandments by heart. For many people, the commandments represent all that is overbearing and nitpicking about religion. That's a shame because far more than a demanding legal code, the commandments are like a love song crooned by God for God's people, though you might not get that on the first bounce. The first commandment provides the context for the other nine. How we interpret that first colors how we hear the rest of them. Listen again. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You shall have no other gods besides me, for I am a jealous God. That phrase, I am a jealous God, sounds somewhat foreboding, doesn't it? Even threatening, as if to say, step out of line and this avenging God will be ready to pounce. Unfortunately, that's how many people still hear the commandments. What's worse, that's how the church has often presented the commandments. However, that description of God as jealous is atrociously inaccurate. The Hebrew word that is used, kanach, simply means to turn deep red. As you know, intense human emotions are often reflected in facial coloration. We say things like, he was crimson with rage. She was red-faced in shame. And so it's not surprising that when referring to human beings, that word kana came to express anger, embarrassment, jealousy, or other negative emotions. In the six instances that the Old Testament uses the word to describe God, it also refers to emotional states, but positive ones. The Torah employs the word kana to describe God's passion, his zeal, his deep devotion for his people. Thus, what Exodus tells us is not that God is a jealous God, rather that God is a passionate God, deeply devoted to his chosen people, thoroughly interested in everything they do. In other words, far from being a tedious legal prescriptive, the commandments are God's unilateral declaration of love for us. The other nine commandments can only be understood in this context. In fact, we could fruitfully preface each of the remaining commandments with the phrase, because I love you so ardently. For instance, because I love you so ardently, you shall not kill. Because every person's life is precious to me, even the life of your enemy. Also, keep in mind that the commandments attempt not only to order the relationships among God's people by structuring how we should interact with each other, they also provide aspirational targets toward which we might aim if we are ever to become the kind of people God wants us to be. For instance, God says, because I love you so ardently, you shall not be jealous of your neighbor's good fortune. I freely give to you all the fruits of creation so that you may enjoy life and flourish. But be careful not to become enslaved to your desires by craving everything you see. During Lent, we Catholics are encouraged to avail ourselves of the sacrament of confession. Many will use these commandments to guide their examination of conscience, and we could certainly do worse. However, might I suggest that instead of simply confessing that you have lied or been jealous or have lost your patience, that you begin simply by sitting quietly in God's presence and reflecting on those words. Because God loves me so much, and because God cares so deeply about me and my family, this is why my lying and my jealousy and my impatience are wrong. Through this sacrament of the church, continue to heal me, God. Help me to become the person you have always dreamed I would be.